Did you know that each episode of the Digitally Irresistible podcast is recorded on video? You can access the video by clicking the episode notes on your podcast player. Scroll to the bottom of the notes and click on the video link. Or just visit the iCore YouTube channel. You're listening to the Digitally Irresistible podcast, where we cover the optimization of digital technologies and irresistible people. Brought to you by iCore. Each episode features someone who sheds a little more light on the ins and outs of delivering a great employee and customer experience that has a measurable impact on the business. And now, here's today's guest.
Hi, I'm Maribel DeLeon, Vice President of the PMO organization here at iCore. Today, I'm wearing a different hat. I have the privilege of hosting a video interview with none other than Shep Hyken. Welcome, Shep.
Hey, thanks. And you know what? You're not really wearing a hat at all.
Don't tell anybody.
So thanks for having me here. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for joining us. Shep, you have an incredibly impressive bio. Would you take some time to share some of that with our audience today?
Wow. You want me to brag on myself?
Okay. I do.
I guess I'll give you some facts. I'm the chief amazement officer at Shepherd Presentations, which is the name of my company. And I took that title CAO and said, oh, you made a typo. And if I'm around a real serious bunch, I apologize. But if I'm around a bunch that I want to be around, I say, well, it's actually A for amazement, chief amazement officer, because we help our clients create amazing experiences for their customers and clients. And just like you at iCore, create an experience for your clients, customers or clients or whatever they want to call themselves. That's your job. But since I have been speaking and we do training programs and projects, that's my job, is to help our clients create amazing experiences. So I've been doing it for a long time. I started back probably before you were born.
I doubt it.
So I am now, this is year number 41 in this business, which is hard to believe.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That is impressive. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm on your tails.
Yeah, I told you. I told you. Yeah.
So, Shep, would you share with us what you think has changed the most in CX in the past 20 years or so?
Wow, I knew that question was going to come. That's like a standard question that I love to ask. Well, and actually speaking to your company, you know, with your company, iCore, you guys have been around for like 20 years and you've earned a great reputation and you're trusted by your clients and you've got a really strong reputation within the industry. You have seen firsthand the changes that I only get to watch from afar, or if I'm lucky, get to jump in at a support center when I'm doing a project with a client. But here's what I have seen happen. And it actually started, if you go back even longer than 20 years, because I don't know when AI really started to hit, probably about 12 to 15 years ago. But before that, it was just, hey, let's talk to people. Yeah. That's it. And then it's like, well, let's do, for lack of a better term, texting back and forth, hence the chat bot. And then AI started to come along. And what AI was back then is nothing what it's compared to today. Although some clients haven't quite gotten on board with the whole generative AI, ChatGPT type technologies, which, by the way, they're so new, I anticipate we're going to see a lot more of that coming up. But we went from talking to people to handling responsibilities digitally without human interaction. Humans to human interactions are used now as fallback oftentimes rather than the primary mode. That said, our research that we do every year, this year is no exception. The phone is still number one. And this year it's 70%. Last year it was 69% of the people we surveyed said phone over self-service. Mm-hmm. And the year before, it's gone up like 10 points over the last few years. And it surprises me. Now, here's my prediction, even though you didn't ask me about it, the prediction. That was the last 20 years. In the next 20 months, I think we're going to see more of a customer adopting AI and the self-service experience more than they have in the past. It's going to become indistinguishable, at least at some level, not the super high complicated level, but it will be indistinguishable experiences between humans and machine, especially in the chatbot area.
Shep, that's very interesting, especially those statistics. What about from an agent perspective? How do you think the agent experience has been affected by AI?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. And I love to see when companies are investing AI, not just for the self-service experience for customers, but also for the experience that agents have. I mean, you've got Symphony AI, which is used to train your agents and give them the latest and greatest information using the technology. I think it's so important for companies to embrace this because it's really not all that expensive if you do it right. It streamlines the process. It reduces training costs. And it's wonderful when the same way a customer would ask a question, the agent should be trained on how to ask the question properly, prompt it into the machine, the AI. And then once they get that information, it allows them to communicate it back to that customer with the empathy, sympathy, concern, or enthusiasm and excitement that meshes with the way the customer is communicating with the agent. So I would love to see more companies thinking about how to integrate AI into the agent experience, not just the customer experience.
Yeah, and it's a win-win, right? Because not only does the customer feel like they're getting what they need, but the agent also feels empowered, right? Because they have so much information at their fingertips. It really changes, I think, their ability to service the customer as well.
Yeah, it's it creates a fulfilled experience, which is really important. If you want to frustrate an agent, prepare for agent turnover. If you give them the tools that they need, the agent will feel fulfilled. They'll know that you're investing in them creating a better experience. There's a pretty good chance that they're going to feel their skill set rises as a result of them being taught how to get information, just not teaching them basic information. It's like that old saying, give a person a fish, you feed them for a meal. Teach them to fish and you feed them for a lifetime. And if you teach the agent how to properly use the technology, it opens up a whole world of information that they can gather and get. And then when they interpret it and respond properly to their customer, I think it creates a great experience. So to your point, win-win. And to all the companies out there thinking about this, invest in both the customer and the agent experience. And I go a step further. AI, when it's not being used for the agent, but companies say, well, we do invest AI into our company. Oftentimes, you're using AI to track customer behavior and get data so they can better, maybe better create experiences, but create better products to find out how to manage a better capability. You know, Peter Drucker, famous management guru, said, you can't manage what you don't measure. So AI allows us to capture data in an incredible way. Years ago, we used to talk a lot about big data. Well, we're going to be at that same place because big data, by its original definition, was it's so big, there's so much, we aren't sure what to do. And then smart CXOs or other people that were involved in the C-suite with marketing and experience, they were saying, we don't need all of the information. We just need this little bit of information. And if we could accurately get that information, we can personalize experiences, we can understand the buyer behavior, understand what people love, don't love. And again, that's data used for the customer. I'm encouraging companies to think about doing self-service solutions, just as you have at iCor, for the agents as well.
At iCor, we pride ourselves on being more than just a team of CX professionals. We're a global family working in unison. No matter the geography, our site stands shoulder to shoulder, playing a vital part in our clients' success. With a strategic partnership value at our core, we prioritize excellent communication and alignment, always focused on achieving each client's vision. We are agile and ready to adapt at a moment's notice to meet your business needs. That's the iCor way.
That's great. And speaking of the C-suite, in recent years, how do you feel that the mindset of the executives, certain brands have changed?
Well, two things. Number one, we can go back to probably maybe 2010, 11, 12. All of these consulting firms, big ones, were predicting the customer experience will become so important by 2020 that it'll probably trump almost any other initiative you have. That will become your best marketing. They were right. And I think that what we're looking at now is not adopting that philosophy that it is so important, but it's how do we improve on something that is now recognized is so important. So the C-suite, here's what the C-suite needs. If you're going to come to them and you're going to say, we need to integrate this technology, it's going to cost this much, because they always want to know the numbers. What does it cost? But at the same time, they also want to know the other side of it. What will it mean to the bottom line? So we have to come in with the C-suite prepared to sell them on the idea of something they probably already know, which is that customer experience is a major differentiator. It's a competitive differentiator. It makes price less relevant. And if we do it right, customers come back again and again. They know that, but now I got to show them the ROI on the investment that we're willing to make. And when we can do that, their ears will perk up. Their eyes will get wide. They'll smile. And there's a pretty good chance they'll sign on the dotted line when you do that right.
Speaking of reputation, Shep, and getting your brand out there and recognized and the experience recognized, how has social media impacted CX? And I know that's a huge topic. Social media is so large, but do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, let's draw it down to it's the basic level. We, every year, we do research and we ask what are the preferred communication channels when it comes to customer service. And by the way, I'm going to go back to about 2000 and maybe 15, 16. I would attend Social Media Marketing World, and they had a whole track for customer care and social media, because what they were starting to see is that some customers would actually go to the social channels and ask for help, make their complaints. And it was just another place or another channel. But here's what we've learned in our research. Again, we do this year after year, and for maybe 3 or 4 years now, we've been asking about the preferred communication channels. I already mentioned phones, number one. This year, I believe chat with the online human-to-human chat was number two, followed by email. We have about 8 or 9 different choices. At the very, very bottom, at like 7% said, if that, that social media was a viable communication channel. So I have a client, and I can't share with you who they are, but this was an interesting case study. They were getting ready to invest millions of dollars into social media customer care. And I believe it's important for you to pay attention to all of the channels, because your customers on occasion do go there. And I said, why are you getting ready to do that? And they said, more and more of our customers are going social. And I said, why do you think that is? And they said, well, if we took a look at who it was, we're guessing it's a younger generation. I go, let's take a look at what they're asking for and what they're saying. And when you drilled down and you looked at that information, this is what they found. It wasn't the first channel they went to. It was a backup channel. Sometimes it was 2 and 3 channels or 2 and 3 attempts before they said, you know what, I've had enough. I'm going social. Social, not for help, but social to seek revenge, start to complain.
Get attention.
And then they know, gosh, we've got to fix this. It's now public. Now, people will consider online review places like Yelp or TripAdvisor and forums. Even in the B2B world, there are forums where customers go and make comments, both good and bad, about customer care. They may or about the product, the company, they may even go there for customer care. And in those instances, I love that. I believe that a company needs to monitor every social channel that they know their customers are on. And by the way, very easy to do today with the technology that's available. Number two, they are to respond to every single comment. And I don't care if it's 5 comments or 5,000 comments in a day or a week. At least a positive comment deserves a thank you for letting us know. And there's 50 ways you can say it, and it can be a computer that's leaving the positive comments. However, if it's a negative comment, you must deal with it. And here's why. My buddy Jay Barry, you may or may not Jay's a great friend. His line is like one of my favorites. He says, when it comes to social media, customer care becomes a spectator sport.
Yes.
Because the rest of the world can see what's going on. So if somebody leaves a bad review on your on a review site, you've got to step in and say, I am so glad you have brought that to our attention. Let's see what we can do to fix this for you. And then go into a direct message mode, resolve the issue, come back, and in the perfect world, that customer comes back and thanks you for taking care of them. Now, you're not going to be perfect every time. By the way, one of our questions we asked in this year's research is, you know, do you trust? Well, basically, I don't remember the exact phrasing, but it went something like this. The answer was a certain percentage of customers will not trust a company's reviews if they're perfect fives.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a study out of Kellogg Business School up at, up in Northwestern University. And they found that the perfect score for credibility is about a 4.2 to 4.4.
Hmm. You talk about the research that you do every year, Shep. I'm assuming that the demographics that you actually are interviewing or what's the word?
It's a Gen Pop study. So we look at the general population weighted to the U.S. Census for age, ethnicity, gender, geography, every way you slice it and dice it. So it's fascinating to look at, for example, that social media question. If you take a look at of the 7%, I believe about half or more are Gen Zs, where like a tiny, tiny percentage are baby boomers. So you can see how generations play a
role in it. And that's basically where I was going, is that people I think would expect to have a big difference, right? Or show a big difference between the generations. But your statistics that you shared with us today really don't point or indicate that it's AI or nothing, right? It's a lot of different formats.
So we asked, one of the questions we asked, we gave them 9 or 10 choices, was which of these do you think are going to be important to the future of customer service and experience? And one of the questions was an intuitive self-service experience, you know, such as a chatbot or AI. And when you looked at how many people said that was important, and it was a pretty good percentage, I wanted to see the generational breakdown. Now, who do you think would say they want to see more self-service, intuitive experiences like that? I'm asking you.
I would think millennials and Gen Z, that those...
I would have thought that as well. Yeah. But the boomers were the ones that came out skewing that percentage. Now, why is that? So I reached out to my friend Jason Dorsey, who is the generational expert of the world, I believe. And he actually helped me with my research for the last few years. And I said, how can this be? He says, because Gen Z doesn't need, a simple, easy to navigate, intuitive self-service experience. Boomers need that. Gen Z already knows it. They were born with a mobile device sticking out of their head when they come out of the womb.
That's true. That's a great point. That's very interesting. Fascinating. Yeah. And listen, we've talked a lot about AI and its impact on CX, but if you can wrap it up, you know, what are the major points that we should take away about the CX experience and AI?
So there needs to be a balance. I would say more than anything, companies who are making the shift to saying we aren't going to have phone support anymore are going to alienate a big chunk of their customers today. Now, that could change in the future. We've already seen some companies take a bold move to do that. And I actually applaud those companies, even though the reviews haven't been as great as they had hoped for in these situations. You need to give customers the choice. You can push them to AI first and then slide them over. As I mentioned in our study, we found 70% of people prefer the phone over self-service. However, there is about a 30 some odd percent, or maybe it's right around 30% as well, of customers say that if you don't offer me an AI solution, I'm going to try to find a company that will. So I believe there's going to be a tipping point. I believe it's in the next, you mentioned 20 years going back, in the next 20 months, I believe we're going to start to see more and more customers adapting and adopting to self-service experiences because they're going to become closer to the human-to-human experience. And now a lot of agents and CX leaders wonder, what's this going to do to the employment situation? And this is just my take on it. After looking at all the stats and facts, I believe there's going to be a hit, but not like people are talking about. Most of the, if you look at like X millions of jobs are going to be disrupted. And by the way, that's an important word. I can't remember who did the study, but they said it was a disruption of jobs. not an elimination of jobs. That's an important fact. And when you looked at how many jobs we were talking about, it was less than 10% of the workforce. Now, that's still a lot, but disruption doesn't mean elimination. And when you take a look at the support center, I did a study with a major research firm last year. I helped them with their study. And they said, and we found 60 some odd percent of CX leaders said, even with AI, they are actually adding to their payroll, not taking away. Only about 22, 23%, I believe it was a low end, said that, yeah, we might have some elimination of jobs, but not much. And the rest obviously were neutral. But think about that. Like 6 out of 10 CX leaders are saying we're adding jobs, even though AI is, because people need to, number one, keep an eye on AI and make sure it's doing it right. So there's quality check, quality control. There's different modes of communication customers are using. They need to be able to more or less quarterback those modes. So we teach these people, they're also going to be upskilled to handle the more complicated issues. We're going to have more fulfilled employees. And I mentioned this earlier, we're also going to see a lower turnover. And with, you know, we mentioned this, we talked about, you know, Symphony AI and the training that iCor is doing. When you start to train your own people, you start to see fulfillment. Fulfillment means happier employees, lower turnover, which means lower hiring costs because you don't have as many people to hire, which means way lower training costs because it costs a lot to onboard and train people properly to do the job that we want them to do.
Chef, we shared a lot of information here today. Is there one last nugget that you could leave us with?
Sure. You know, every year I do predictions, and I have been for I don't know how many years opening with the same prediction every year, and that is this. Our customers are getting smarter every single year. And what I mean by that is they understand what a good experience is. Yeah, obviously, they're smarter when it applies to what we're talking about today. They understand what it is. And here's why. There are some rock star companies out there. The brands that you know and love that you do business with are probably, for the most part, in sync with the brands that I love. And then there could be that little business down the road that they just take such good care of me. Or perhaps it's, if I'm in the B2B world, it's some inside sales rep that is constantly calling me and checking on me, and they've got my back. I am going to, as a customer, compare every experience that I have to the best experience I've ever had, regardless of the company providing it. Again, retail, hospitality, B2B, even the government. Yes, the government. Although our research says only 18% of people believe the government here in the U.S. gives great service. But that's another story.
Yeah.
But here's my point. Our customers are smarter than ever, and we need to accept the challenge that we're not being compared to a direct competitor anymore. We're compared to the best service. We can't be maybe as good as some of those iconic brands in doing the type of service they deliver. But what we can do is learn what they're doing that we love and find out, can we incorporate that into what we do for our customers, regardless of what industry they're in? And let's just try to create a better experience. As I think about this, my favorite song as I'm walking on stage, if a client says, we want you to do the keynote speech, what's your walk-on music that you want? Here it is. I want Bonnie Raitt's Let's Give Them Something to Talk About.
Oh,
and it should be something good because that's what we're trying to achieve whenever we deliver that experience. We want our customers, our clients, our guests, our members, whatever we want to call them, we want them to talk about us in a positive way.
Well, Chef, I can talk to you all afternoon, but I can't think of a better place to end it. That was absolutely fantastic.
Well,
thank you so much for your industry insights. I really enjoyed our conversation and appreciate you coming by today.
Oh, my pleasure. Can't wait to come back and do it again.
Anytime.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Digitally Irresistible Podcast, where we cover the optimization of digital technologies and irresistible people, delivering a great employee and customer experience that has a measurable impact on the business. Brought to you by iCor. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast player so you don't miss future episodes.